Hello and welcome to Alchemy 101, the show that explores all avenues of transformation and aims to offer a few nuggets of gold that can support us in living in line with nature in a way that's true to our nature, even though sometimes it feels counterintuitive, like the nightingale, a bird that sings out in the dark. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and it's great to have you with me today as we head into the new year. New year, new me, isn't that what we often say? Well, new year resolutions aside, what if you really could make long-lasting changes to your health and well-being, your life? It really is possible, and my guests today can help you make that happen. Cheryl Utal took her health into her own hands to heal from Hashimoto's disease, otherwise known as chronic thyroiditis. She tells us how. And Marie Patterson has a new book out that outlines a veritable compendium of positive steps to well-being. First, I know from personal experience how our energetic state can have a huge impact on our health, which is why I'm motivated to help others through clearing sessions that can shift energy and relieve stress. You might find it helpful as part of your new me regime. Now, to find out more and book an initial session with me, head over to safehavenhealing.uk. But not before you hear from my guests today. I first met Cheryl Utal when Dr. Mark Goulston and I welcomed her onto our show Hurt Less, Live More here on UK Health Radio, and I was intrigued by her health success story, not to mention the online well-being platform she's created called Japa Health. So I was delighted Cheryl agreed to join me here to talk more about that. This is a woman who is helping others after finding her own path to good health, and I asked her how she did that, to tell us her story.
Thank you for having me here and for being curious and interested in my journey, which was a healing journey. So I am now in my 40s. Actually, my birthday is going to be in a few days. I'll be 44.
Happy birthday.
And when I was 12, thank you. Thank you. Stronger and more vibrant than ever, truly, really, truly. And so healing is absolutely possible. And I am living proof of that. When I was 25 years old, after a long time of intuitively knowing that I wasn't well and struggling to understand what was wrong with me, which I think is a really, unfortunately, common problem with people. You know, they have these symptoms and like this sort of complex mystery illness stuff. And they go from doctor to doctor and they're told, you know, it's either normal or in your head or take this cream or take this pill. And you're kind of, you know, dismissed. Which is really normal. I think it's something like 7 years, 5 to 7 years on average before an autoimmune diagnosis is typically given after symptoms. So at 25, that's what happened to me, is I got that diagnosis of you have Hashimoto's. And the story for me around that and the discovery of that was that at 17 years old, my mother, out of fear, insisted that I take birth control. And I was a virgin at the time and didn't really quite understand why. And, you know, she just thought that that was the right thing to do. And so I did that. And at 25 years old, I was married and I had graduated college and I was living this sort of textbook life, the life that you think you're supposed to live, you know, go to school, get a good education, find a quality partner that also has a good education, and you both get your good jobs and you move to the suburbs. And then the next reasonable step is to have a baby. And at the time at 25, I stopped taking that birth control pill that I had been on really unconsciously. You know, there was no real clarity in my life as to why, except for that was just what you did, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I stopped taking it and never got my period.
Oh, wow.
You know, I thought, oh, like it would just come normally after that, right? Like it would just, the cycle would return, and it didn't.
Yeah.
And so the first question is, well, am I pregnant? You know, because that was what the whole intention was at the time. And no, I wasn't. And after several months of that and of not having the cycle return, you know, I went to the doctor. And the first thing they did was like the ultrasound, right? Are your organs healthy? You know, do you have anything wrong with your uterus, your ovaries? Everything like that was totally normal. And then they did some blood work and they found the autoantibody levels for my thyroid around 15,000. And for context, an autoantibody level should be very low, right? You shouldn't have your immune system shouldn't be targeting your own tissue. Mm-hmm. Like this is not a healthy condition, right? Is to have your own body attacking itself. And so over 100, they diagnose you with autoimmunity. And I was told to take thyroid replacement hormone and that I would need to take it forever and that I would probably need to have my thyroid removed.
Wow.
Because there's no way to fix it. And we don't know why this happens. And your thyroid is probably damaged so much that it will never make its own thyroid hormone. And they send you on your way and they give you your prescription. And for a couple of years, JJ, I did that. I took the medication mm-hmm. and I got worse.
Okay.
And out of desperation for number one, vanity, because I didn't look great, you know, and I was a young woman and, you know, I live in California where, you know, how you look is generally important.
yeah.
And, you know, that was before I went on a spiritual journey and understood a lot of the things I understand now. And out of desperation one day, I just said, I can't live like this anymore. And there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a reason why I got this sick. And I'm convinced that I can figure it out. And it was really out of that desperation and determination that the journey began. And now fast forward, so that was, I was probably around 27 at the time, going to be 44 next week. And I, in March of this year, for the first time in a while, took a blood test and my autoantibody levels are 168. So I have been able to, I mean, you technically over 100 still have Hashimoto's, but
yeah, but hey, what a difference.
I feel amazing. What a difference. I feel amazing. And the level of vitality and energy that I have, clarity, cognitive clarity, effective gut health, I never even imagined was possible. And, you know, I went down this healing journey, not knowing that it would lead me to understand that at the root of autoimmune disease is a battle for the authentic self. And this is truly what I teach. We talked about this on the last podcast that I was on, but I founded a yoga studio because I was so inspired by my own healing journey. I wanted to help others, right? And at the time, which was over 10 years ago now, yoga was at the foundation of the work I was doing to heal myself, which was nervous system regulation, first and foremost, you know, being able to understand your energy, how you feel, your breath, your senses. And at this stage in my life, I can actually say I can take it a step further than that. And taking it a step further for me is shadow work. And yes, changing your diet, getting rid of the toxins, having strong boundaries in your life with, you know, shitty people that bring you down and, you know, sleeping properly, hydration, all of the physical stuff, you know, getting in enough movement and all of the things that you can see and measure are, of course, important. And I talk about that a lot. But I think at the foundation, like truly, if we're going to get to the root of why do we get sick and how do we get better, what creates health is understanding the authentic self and most importantly, the inauthentic self, the shadow side of ourselves, which if we really look at autoimmunity, what does that mean? It means the immune system is unable to distinguish self from non-self. So your
Correct.
immune system is supposed to fight off, right? It's supposed to fight off what's external, what's not you, to protect you from something harmful. So if an autoimmune disease isn't a spiritual battle, then I don't know what is. I mean, this is really a battle for the authentic self. And that has been my life's journey and what I have come to teach and study. And there's a really intricate and beautiful balance between things like mysticism and spirituality and yogic sciences and neuroscience and and all of the Western sciences. And I've been a student of that now for so long that I've come to find this really cool synergy of all of that work and how it all comes together. And I built a platform, a technology platform called Japa Health that's centered all around all of that, because I'm just so passionate about helping other people go through this healing and how to come into their own power and their own vital life force energy, which again is completely possible.
Oh, it is completely possible. And I love what you're doing. And I love the way that you talk about it there. It is a combination of it all coming together as we discover who we are authentically and getting rid of any of the blocks and barriers to good health. Yeah. No, I love that. And do you know, I've never actually thought about autoimmune conditions in that way. But you're absolutely right, because it's the body attacking itself. So it's the body saying, don't like this. No, no, we're not having this. And you think, but it's my body. So where's that coming from, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's great that you kind of worked that out for yourself. And to go from those numbers, what was it that you said, 15,000 or something like that?
Yeah, I you know what, I was actually just thinking yesterday, somewhere in my files, I have all those old blood tests and I should dig them up. I should dig them up and put them side by side and take a picture. Yeah, it's definitely been a journey, and you know, it's not a linear journey. So anybody that's, you know, been on this path of healing, whether it's from something physical or emotional or grief, you know, it's not linear, right? So you know, you have sometimes setbacks or triggers or flares, and it's a long journey of just consistently showing up to, you know, be in devotion to your highest self. And there's so many different factors that contribute, all these different forces that are all influencing our life force energy. So yeah, my autoimmune levels were really out of control. It was bad. It was like, you know, it was kind of like a walking zombie. So the path to health is managing all of these forces. And so I built this virtual assessment that has 10 different determinants of health. And there are a lot of them, the typical ones that you would think of: nutrition, movement, sleep, hydration. But there's 10. And inside of the 10 also includes a category dedicated to this type of shadow work. We call it vision, not your eyesight, but a different kind of vision, right? It's your perception. It's your awareness. And most importantly, self-awareness and how you see yourself. And what I really believe is that the root cause of disease, even if it's not a trauma or some kind of, you know, shadow that needs to be brought into the light, that is from something really dark or negative, it could be something very subtle, such as like an unworthiness around feeling good and an unworthiness for high quality food, for example, or nourishment, or abundance, right? And that, I think, if we really look at what our core beliefs are about ourselves, is where we can start to have behavior change around some of the nutrition or some of the movements, right? Or some of the other things that are a part of a healing journey as well. So at the end of the day, fundamentally, I really believe that it's how we feel about ourselves at a subconscious level that needs to be examined to get into a healthy routine.
I think that's absolutely right. And of course, you know, a lot of people kind of go to extremes along this continuum. So you have people who are very spiritual and they kind of get it into their heads that they, if they're just kind of pure enough and spiritual enough and, you know, get to know their authentic self, then they can still go out and have a burger and fries. And, and it's, a lot of people just don't get that it's all of it, you know.
It's all of it. Yeah.
You have to support yourself in giving yourself good nutrition, exercising, you know, doing things which are really good for you, which will allow you and your system to thrive. And some of it might be work to start with, right? I'm sure that you found some of it to be a bit of work when you first started down this path.
At some point, it was completely overwhelming. Like I would walk around the grocery store like completely confused, you know, what do I buy? What do I not buy? And I think you just kind of have to accept that it's a journey and you might not have all the answers on day one or day 100 or year one or year two. And
agreed,
people have asked me, people have asked me, well, how long will it take if, you know, if I start now? And my response to that is, does it matter? Like if I told you it would take 10 years, would you not do it? You know, how committed are you? Right. And it doesn't matter to me how long it takes. I'm committed. I'm committed to the point that I ask myself with everything that I do, does this expand my life force or does this diminish my life force?
Nice, nice. Yeah, like that.
And just keep asking yourself that. And if you want to eat that burger or you want to have that beer, you know, that is that risk versus reward decision within yourself that nobody can do that analysis for you. And moment to moment, breath by breath, you do the best you can with the information that you have and just stay committed to that belief that expanding your life force is possible.
Totally possible. Well, we'll hear more from Cheryl Lutal in a moment, but first it's time for a short break. We'll be back right after these messages from our station sponsors.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 with me, JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and my first guest today, Cheryl Lutal. And we were talking about the importance of food as part of our well-being journey before the break. I mentioned eating burgers, but let's just qualify that. Having a burger and fries, I know I use that as an example, but having something like that every so often isn't an issue. We all like to have a bit of fun. We all like to mix it up a bit. You know, I personally aim not to eat ultra-processed food, which I think is one of the biggest issues that we face right now in terms of nutrition.
For sure is, yeah.
Can I say that I've excluded it totally from my diet? Probably not. Sometimes you just think, oh, I just want that.
Yeah.
But then you don't have that thing again for, I don't know, maybe a year, you know. Well, that's what happens to me anyway. It's like, I'll just suddenly think, I've got a taste for that. You have it and you think, yeah, no. I don't want that now. I don't want that again for a long, long time, because I usually, in those cases, find that it's not really doing me much good. I can feel it not doing me much good.
Yeah. Yeah. Same here. I can feel it. And what I've experienced for me is that the more work that you do to regulate yourself, to know yourself, to cultivate self-awareness, deep self-awareness, the more sensitive you become to the subtle effects that things have on you, those subtle effects that whether it's light, like, you know, I can walk into a room and if there's glaring artificial lights, I can just feel like this doesn't feel good for my system.
Yeah.
And so the more sensitive you become and the more of a sensitivity you cultivate to what is actually good for you and what is not good for you, it starts to become innate in you whether or not you should reach for that thing or whether or not you should indulge in that thing, right? And that's the process of truly knowing yourself. It's part of the whole journey of knowing and honoring what is right for you. And it's a balance. And I'm not going to say that I 100% exclude. I don't think anybody does. I think that that's unrealistic in we're in 2023, almost 2024. That's unrealistic. But I think for me, and everybody has a different barometer for this, but for me, it comes down to, I don't want to settle. I want the most out of my life. I want the most out of this beautiful vessel that I've been gifted by God that I know is capable of so much. And I don't feel that there's any passion to be found in life for settling for less than you're capable of. And that is really what drives me to do all of the challenging work and have the discipline and to say no to things that, you know, might give me some momentary pleasure, but aren't necessarily good for my overall life goals, which is to get into that peak performance and optimize my potential.
Yeah. And optimizing your potential in every single way, not just in terms of your health. I'm kind of doing air commas there. You know, health is more than just whether you have a cold or not, whether you're, you know, you've got a right. virus or not. It's all encompassing. In fact, it is life. Well,
it is life. And it's really what I have come to understand about health is healing and health and the expansion of consciousness are the same. And health happens in the same way that consciousness expands. And abundance happens in the same way that consciousness expands. So it's really inseparable. And being able to see and feel the interconnected nature of all of that within the fabric of your own life, for me, is a motivation to be healthy, because I want it all. I want it all. And don't we all want it all? I mean, who doesn't want to feel good, have energy, have excellent relationships, be able to receive abundance and experience joy? And to me, that truly starts with, I'm not settling.
Nice one. Yeah. Not settling. That's good. Yeah. So I just want to go back to Japa Health. Can you go through maybe in a little bit more detail how somebody would use that platform?
Yes. Thank you for asking. So when I had my yoga studio, which I sold, I saw a lot of people. I mean, this was a very high volume business in West Los Angeles. We had 70 classes a week. And I saw about 2,000 people a week. Over the 5.5 years that I owned that business, we registered close to 40,000 students. A lot of people came through the doors there. And I heard over and over again the same thing, which is people inspired by my transformation and my healing journey and asking, where do I start?
Great. Yeah, good question.
Where do I start? Mm. Where do I start? Right. So when I sold that business, I was determined to create a tool to help people answer that question for themselves. Because although I believe there are a lot of universal truths like shadow work, like gut health, like all the things that you and I talk about and have come to understand, there's a fine tuning for every individual around what they should prioritize. And there's, for example, so many different ways that you can get into a meditative state. There's so many different ways. There's not only one way. There's so many different ways that you can modify your diet to optimize your vitality. And it varies from person to person, depending on gender and age and lifestyle and history and so many factors. So I built an assessment that is a very thorough life assessment that asks questions across the 10 determinants of health. It scores all of the questions, and then it uses an artificial intelligence algorithm that my team and I built to deliver the most optimal recommendations for you based on the way that you answer the questions. And so that actually is live right now. It is completely free right now. You can go to japa.health and just go to the website. There's a big button right on the top of the website that says take the assessment. It's completely free. Anybody can do it and just answer the questions. The cool thing is that the process of answering the questions alone is actually quite insightful, because the questions that we ask are questions that oftentimes people haven't thought to ask themselves. So just that contemplation alone can be really, really helpful for people. And then at the end, you'll get a series of recommendations by determinant. So you'll get up to 50 recommendations, and you'll get scores for each of the 10 categories and an overall score. So this is a tech startup. This is not an easy thing to do, to start a technology company. We've raised money, we've got partners, and it's just the beginning. We're going to expand the platform in many ways, including recommending things like lab tests and different health and wellness products that would be most optimal for you, that are vetted by our community of scientists and experts. There'll be community features and many other things as we grow. But that for right now,
fantastic.
Just go to the website and give it a try.
It really does sound fantastic. And I love the fact that anybody can go there and answer those questions. I'm curious now, though, what kind of questions are you asking that people might not have thought of before or asked themselves before?
Let me think of a couple. Like one, for instance, is like, how long can you hold your breath?
Oh,
it's like,
right.
Just like a really random question. Another one about breath is, do you predominantly breathe through your nose or your mouth? Mm. Then there's some questions, some relationship questions that I think are really powerful, about resentment. There's some questions about your automatic emotional responses to situations. How quickly can you recover from being triggered? Do you recognize when you're triggered? Do you feel fully seen in your relationships? Things like that.
Yeah, I think it really interesting, isn't it? Because, I mean, things like breath, people just don't think about breath at all. Don't think about how they're breathing, how deeply or not, or, you know, it's
correct,
really
yeah.
interesting, isn't it? And of course, it does impact us hugely.
It is at the fundamental, most basic level. These are the things that we need to be considering if we want to be well. And, you know, you think about things like what our culture, what mainstream media, what we tend to think of and how we're conditioned to view health and wellness is like diet and exercise. But let's back way up. Are you breathing properly? Are you aware of your breath? I mean, we're going to back way up and we're going to hit the fundamentals, you know, like, are you getting the right minerals? Are you drinking the right water? How's your posture? How's your breath? You know, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of fundamentals in there that I think can be of huge, huge, huge value to people that are struggling in any way. Because if we start to pay attention to those details and we focus on them in a way that we're regulating them, everything improves.
Yes, I love that. It's a great way to start. It's taking stock and finding out where you are and being honest about it. I think it can be very easy for people to not be terribly honest when they're doing these questionnaires, but it doesn't help anybody, far less you, if you are not honest when you answer those questions. You know, just answer them honestly.
Yeah, I mean, one of the practices that has been powerful for me that can be super confronting for people is mirror work. Have you ever done that?
Yes, I have. Yes.
It's one of the reasons why I fell in love with the Bikram style of yoga practice, in spite of the not so virtuous aspects of the man Bikram himself, but in the design of that practice, you're doing it in front of a mirror. And so it's an uncomfortable practice, right? So Bikram is a sequence of 26 postures. They're predominantly standing postures. You hold them for a long time, like a minute at a time, in a very hot room. And so you're holding this posture, you're totally uncomfortable, you're really hot, and you're staring at yourself right in the mirror, right in your eyes. And to be in that place of discomfort, but have to look at yourself. And part of the meditative aspect of that practice is the gaze point, right? Keeping your focus, your eyes on one point. That's a big part of any yoga practice, is the drishti, the gaze. And being able to look at yourself was something that I learned through that practice that I think is so important, to be able to truly see yourself, even if it's messy, like even if you're falling over, even if you don't like what you see, and don't look away and be honest about what you see. And that's actually one of the recommendations. Of course, yoga is a recommendation in the japa system, but to actually just go look at yourself, look in the mirror and don't look away.
Yeah.
Look at yourself in a way that you can be honest with who you are and what you see and how you operate and how you show up. Because honesty, yeah, I mean, you can't do the shadow work if you're not honest. You can't be healthy if you're not honest with yourself.
Exactly. And looking at yourself in the mirror for an extended period, not just to see if your hair's right or if you, you know, if you've got spinach in your teeth or something, but looking
totally.
at yourself for a while and just looking and not looking away. It's hard. It's hard when you
it's
first
really
do.
Hard. And then it's like, well, what comes up for me? And what do I see? Do I see that wounded version of myself, or do I see that capable version of myself? You know, what is the dialogue? What is the story that comes up, you know, as I look at myself, and being able to cultivate a true love and a true, like, I see you.
Yes. And one thing that many of us find very hard to do is to look in the mirror and say, I love you.
Right?
Really hard, right? Really hard for a lot of us. I can do that now, but it took a while.
It took a while. Yeah. For me too. Yeah.
Yeah.
A long time.
Yeah.
And it's, I think, a practice that never ends.
I think so. Yeah. So listen, I'm so happy to hear what you're doing there. And I really would recommend that anybody who is interested in just improving their health and well-being and, you know, everything in their lives, go along to japa.health and answer all those questions and see where you are, honestly, and then take the steps. And I'll look forward to seeing how that website develops as well, because that platform, because it sounds like you're going to be doing some fantastic things. So, yeah, Cheryl, thank you so much for today. It's been great to speak to you again. Great to hear about your story in more detail than we went into before. Yeah, maybe come back another time when you've developed the platform a little bit more, and we can talk more about it. It'd be great.
Yeah, there'll be progress updates for sure. Thank you, JJ, for having me here and for being curious about my story. I hope that your listeners find this inspiring and helpful.
Oh, thank you. I'm sure they will. I certainly do. It was great to have Cheryl Lutol on the show and hear more about how she healed herself and how we might all take responsibility for our health. I'm excited by her platform, Japa Health. Anything that helps us take that responsibility and enable us to make informed decisions is very welcome, in my opinion. It's time for another short break right now, though. I'll be back right after this with my next guest, well-being coach Marie Patterson. Back after these messages from our sponsors.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio station. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and I'm delighted to welcome Marie Patterson back to the show. Marie is a well-being coach and consultant who has a new book out designed to help us all achieve our well-being goals. Marie, it's lovely to have you back on the show, and you have written a book which is now out. Or now, in a few days, it's out. 5th of January, am I right?
4th of January.
Fourth of January. Well,
You're close, JJ.
I was close, yeah. It's fantastic. Now, it's called Positive Paths to Wellbeing. Tell me about the book. What can we expect from it?
Oh, well, lovely to be back with you, JJ. And yeah, I'm really super excited, as you can imagine, at being very, very close to publication date.
Yeah.
So Positive Paths to Wellbeing is a book that evolved out of work that I've done over many years with staff development and training. I worked in the NHS and I used to run personal development courses there. And when I left to set up my own business, I wanted to sort of take almost everything that was in my head around that topic and put it into a framework that would be helpful for people. So there's 8 paths to wellbeing in my book, and it actually includes quite a variety of things that affect how you feel on a daily basis. So we start off with thinking about, well, what's really important to you? And it's very much about thinking about you as an individual, not, you know, what's right for the population.
Yeah.
It's much focused on the self.
Yeah.
We then look at things like time management, because if you know what you want to do, how do you get organized to get those things into your life? We look at relationships and improving communication and also resolving conflict, because one of the things I did when I worked in the NHS was work as a mediator for staff who had had some disputes, which, you know, happens in all walks of life.
Absolutely.
And so I share some of my knowledge and skills around that. And then we look at, look after the body. So we're looking at healthy eating, exercise and sleep. Then look after the mind. So there's some focus there on being in the moment, some mindfulness, some acceptance and commitment therapy techniques, some self-compassion. And then part 7 is develop positive habits. So if we know the sort of things that are going to help us on a daily basis, how do we get those into our lives? And then the final path is continue learning for life, because I'm an absolute believer in learning is a really good view. And we know from research that continuing learning and being open to new experiences is good for us. And that's exactly what my book has been. Writing the book has been open to a new experience, I can tell you.
Absolutely. You've self-published, haven't you?
I have self-published, yes. So it's been a real learning journey, because not only are you doing the writing, you've got to get involved with, you know, getting proofreading and maybe editing. I do a lot of writing and I do enjoy it. So fortunately, the proofreaders didn't need to do too much changing around with it. But then also the learning the process of how to get it available both on Amazon, but also through bookshops and libraries and available worldwide.
Well, that's great. I find that every day is a learning day. Every day is a school day for me these days. I mean, technology changes every 5 minutes. You know, you think you've got the hang of something and then it changes. And you think, oh, for heaven's sake, I've got to learn how to do this new thing now with it. And so it goes on. But maybe that's just because I'm of a certain age and probably millennials don't have any problem with that at all.
Well, I think you can have skills in different areas at different stages of life. And I certainly noticed, you know, when I was getting a bit older and some of my colleagues were quite young, they could be really good with the technology very fast. You know, I'd be looking at them thinking, how on earth did you do that so quickly? But they weren't always looking at the bigger picture, which I think I had matured and developed and got that more experience. So I think it's lovely when you've got a real range of ages working together in mixtures, because it builds your strengths and you learn from each other. So I think there's always lots to learn from the young, but I hope there's lots to learn from us less young folk as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And just getting back to your book, how much, because I'm a big, I'm really sort of hugely interested in nutrition and diet and that sort of thing. Do you go into that in any great detail, or is it mostly the psychological side of things, or there's a physical or the practical things that you can do around, you know, work and balance and that sort of thing?
There's a real mixture. The 8 paths are divided into 22 what I call milestones. And so each of those has a different topic.
Okay.
So one of those topics is nutrition. It was actually one of the hardest sections to write because, you know, there are so many diverse opinions. So I do quote quite a lot of research there to sort of at least explain to people where my thinking comes from. I have a certificate in nutrition coaching. So I have that background, and I also worked with a nutritionist on that section as well. So I'm hoping that it's fairly balanced. Well, I'm certain it is. It's, you know, very balanced, but it really has that focus on eating whole foods, not eating too much in the way of processed foods, trying to gradually improve your diet in that direction, more and more natural, less, you know, less
ultra-processed
food, effectively less ultra-processed food.
Mm-hmm.
But not being prescriptive about anything else, you know. So Yeah, that's sort of the standpoint I come from, and from the research, you know, what's the research showing us, but also things like time-restricted eating and eating more thoughtfully and mindfully. So it's got a bit of the mixture of the physical nutrition and the sort of psychological, I guess, as well.
Yeah. And so is this the kind of book then that will help anybody who is doing a job? So we're not saying maybe look at your values and then just throw everything up into the air and start again. It's not that. It's helping people get into a far better state, mentally, physically, emotionally, all of that, where they are right now, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's very much focused on small steps. So small changes that you can make. And, you know, I do touch on in the end at Continue Learning for Life, you know, if you really aren't enjoying your job, you know, what are the things you could start to do to sort of make, you know, a change around that? But some of it is changing your approach or your attitude to it as well. So, you know, a lot of people can't just suddenly just throw up you know, life and disappear off. It's about juggling many things. But I know that the book provides lots of tips and principles to help make life easier, because I was lucky to learn those through my career. And my aim now is to share those with others. And so the book is packed actually with lots of small change, you know, ideas for small change that I do know makes a difference.
So give me a few examples of the small changes that we can make in our lives, no matter where we are, that will help us become a little more healthy, a little more at ease, less stressed, that kind of thing.
Okay, so with the time management sort of side of things, I start every morning with my planner. It only takes a few minutes, but I'm looking at what have I got in the diary? What are the key things I need to get done today? I make a list of those, I number them, and I stick to that numbering.
Oh, wow,
I don't
you're
question
good.
It.
You're good. I don't do that.
And no. If I do that, I power through those things. If I start to debate it later on, you know, it's not so efficient. So there's quite a lot of guidance around that sort of working efficiently. Mm. So there's that. So other small changes are, the example of, you know, we're talking about healthy eating earlier on, just making those gradual changes. So when I'm running my workshops, I usually say to people, you know, so if you normally have like a cup of tea and two biscuits, why not have a cup of tea, one biscuit and half an apple? And then maybe you'll eventually change to a cup of tea and an apple. You know, so it's about making small shifts. It's not about throwing everything away. I also encourage people to do some exercises in the morning. So just, you know, 3 or 5 minutes, you know, a few different things, something for your arms, something for your legs. And you might then get really into that and gradually build it up a little bit more. So I do about a 10, 15 minute exercise routine in the morning, you know, most mornings. So there's that type of thing in there as well. I also introduce people to the physiological sigh or cyclic sighing. I don't know if people are familiar with that, but it's what been shown in research by Andrew Huberman to be one of the most relaxing breaths. So it's something we obviously always have with us. So for a physiological sigh, you breathe in, fill your lungs as much as you can, but then you actually take an extra little sip of air or an extra breath and breathe out really slowly. And if you do a few rounds of that, it's been shown to calm you down.
It is extraordinarily powerful, that actually, isn't it? It's really, I always find it amazing the power that we have through our breath, if that's the right way of expressing it. Do you know what I mean? It is a powerful thing. We take it so much for granted.
Well, it's one of the things that's sort of both in our conscious and our subconscious control, because most of the time we don't think about our breathing, but we can think about it. And we also, if we slow our breath down, it engages the vagus nerve, which tells our body to relax, rest and digest. So it's about tapping into that and helping to sort of manage when you're feeling stressful.
Yes, no, it's a great tip, that. And so give us an example of a few other things, like, you know, if you're at work and beyond the breath exercise, what can people do to really help themselves get over that stress that they might meet at work?
Well, I think it very much depends on where that's coming from. If it's from being overworked and not being taken seriously, that, you know, you've got too much on, then the section on resolving conflicts gives a 6-step process for how to resolve disagreements or differences of opinion. So in that, then it's about, you know, going to speak to somebody and making sure that they listen to you, but you and you also listen to them, and to really understanding what's going on, and then coming up with some new solutions that neither of you have thought about. So trying to help people work together in terms of that, if they're in a work situation. Just the examples given before, you know, just being organized, making sure you plan your days, really important for work. Just being organized, there's a whole section on being organized with your emails, which I know lots of people have implemented and found really helpful. The 2-minute rule. So if something's a quick job, just do it now. If it takes less than 2 minutes, that comes from David Allen from Getting Things Done, who was one of the time management gurus from some time ago. So, yeah, there's just loads and loads of little tips that you can apply in your daily work life and home life too.
Yeah, and home life too. And if, as often happens with me, your plan for the day goes completely awry, in other words, you know, you're supposed to meet somebody, they cancel, something else is supposed to happen, it doesn't, you don't get stressed about that, do you? You just let that go. Maybe if you're a lists person, you just go to the next thing on your list and just say, okay, whatever.
Yeah, I'll definitely go to the next thing on the list. I have a little scale of importance in the book as well. You know, so if you are doing something and then something more important comes along, then you have to drop that thing. You know, and I do say a few times, but you can't do everything. And that's the reality of life. Sometimes we're led to believe we can, but the truth is that we can't. So if you know, if you're thinking about, well, you know, this thing that I'm doing is important, but this other thing is more important, then you're going to go and do that. Or if you get tempted by something, but it's not more important than the thing you're currently doing, you have to be strong and say, no, I will do that another time.
Even if you don't like what you're doing in that moment.
And it depends on, you know, what's the long-term consequence of not doing the thing you're currently doing? You know, so it's about thinking long-term as well as short-term. I think we often think short-term. And in fact, you know, culturally, I think we're quite set up to think short-term, you know, only periods of maybe tops, you know, a few years, but actually sometimes a much bigger time scale, look at climate change, is what's really required. Because if we don't do things now, you know, things get worse in the long term. So making sure that you think long term is actually very important.
That's true. Things can build up, and then before you know it, you're in a bit of a pickle because you haven't attended to something. Yes, absolutely true. And I've experienced that for myself in my life, and I had strong words with myself and said never again. But of course, it does happen. So it sounds like a fantastic book, Marie. Well done. Thank you for writing it, getting it out there. Well done. And in time for people who might be thinking about their New Year's resolutions, because they won't be able to get it until the 4th. But, you know,
They'll have recovered from the excesses of New Year by then.
Yes, exactly. They will have recovered by then. Yeah. So it's probably a really good book for people to go out and get if they are thinking about, well, how can I improve my life? What can I do? I'm not a great one for New Year's resolutions myself. They don't last with me. I think forget the resolutions, go out and get Marie's book. That would be a good one.
Start 2024 on your positive path to well-being.
Indeed, which would be fantastic. Well, Marie, thank you so much for coming on the show and talking about it. Well done again, as I say. Now, you do coaching consultancy, well-being consultancy. Where do people find you if they want to get in touch with you and book you to do some work with them?
So I am available at mariepatterson.com, Patterson with one T.
Patterson with one T, very important, yeah. And they'll find out everything that they need to know there. Wonderful, Marie. Thank you so, so much. And yeah, good luck with the book, because it does sound like, it sounds as if I haven't read it, but it sounds as if you've really broken things down into bite-sized pieces, manageable pieces that everybody can follow. So well done.
Thank you very much indeed. Nice to see you, JJ.
And good to see you too. Thanks. So there you go. Will 2024 be the year when you take the wheel and become the driver on the road to health and well-being? Taking responsibility isn't always the easy answer, but the rewards are worth it. You're worth it. You can find a wealth of resources on both of today's guests' websites, as well as my other website, thepracticalalchemist.uk. I've uploaded some new tracks to help you de-stress, so do check those out. And that just about wraps it up for today. Thank you for listening. I hope that you'll join me again for more personal alchemy. So until next time, it's goodbye from me and that nightingale.